We're turning this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and I read verse 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and verse 7. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And my subject this morning is making heaven happy. Making heaven happy. How can you make heaven happy? Do you really want to make heaven happy? And as you know, on this earth, we have no contact with heaven. You know that. We have no physical contact with heaven. But this is about earth, making heaven to sing. Just think about it. Poor, you and me as we are, small people as we are, but we can make heaven to sing. That's unbelievable, but it is believable because Christ said so. A sinner making God to rejoice. You see, as I said, you have no contact with heaven, but as a sinner, when you repent and cry to the Lord, He will save you. And you will have that special contact with heaven. Look at verse 3, Luke 15, verse 3. We read there that Christ spake this parable. Now I aim in the coming Sundays to look at every parable in Luke chapter 15 as a gospel in our gospel services. Here we have what is often called the lost sheep. Then you have the lost coin. Then you have the lost son, younger son, the prodigal son, as he is often called. But I think there is a fourth one, the lost elder brother. Why not? He's also lost. When you read the record, the account, he is as lost could be. But we will explain all these things. Oh, Christ spake this parable. Remember, his parables, the parables of Jesus Christ, are miracles in words. Miracles in words. And they are really poignant to convert the soul. And we are told in the seven first verses here why Christ came into this world. Do you know why Christ came into this world? He came to receive sinners and to save them. He came to receive sinners, to rescue them, and to save them. But you see, while he was explaining his mission, the Pharisees, you see, the Pharisees, the scribes, these are the religious people. And the religious people, normally, when they heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, they should have welcomed him. They should have really put the red carpet and say, Jesus Christ, we love you. You are the Savior. You are the Redeemer. But instead, look at it in verse 1 and 2. There was a big crowd, we read. Big crowd made of many people, the publicans, the sinners. But in verse 2, you read that the Pharisees and the scribes, these were the religious people, and they were unhappy. And they murmured. They grumbled there because they were unhappy that the Lord Jesus Christ was meeting with sinners and eating with them. Instead of adoration, they made an accusation. Maybe you are very religious. You specifically speaking to you. You are very religious, but look at the religious people. By the way, the religious people hanged the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. They said there with the mob, with the crowd, they said, away with him, away with him, crucify, crucify. That's what the religious people did to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this parable, Christ tells us who he is, but also who we are. Who is he? He is the friend of sinners. Who is he? He is the physician of souls. Who is he? He is the savior. Who is he? He is the loving redeemer. But who are we? We are described here as sinners. Are you a sinner? Of course you are. You don't need anyone to tell you you are. But I have five very small headings to help you to understand why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Number one, look at it in verse 4. Christ begins to speak to the Pharisees and to the scribes, the religious people, and you and me, to all sinners. In verse 4, Christ said, "What man of you?" So he's speaking to the people. What man of you? So you can see his love here. And this man has lost one sheep, and he's willing to go and find it. We are all, Bible says, like sheep. It's not a very nice appellation, but that's how the Lord Jesus Christ looks at us. That's how the Bible describes us. And we have gone astray. We fainted, and we still faint. And we look like sheep without a shepherd. And we cannot find our way to heaven. It is interesting. I was brought up with animals when I was a child, up to teenager. And you can see a dog. We had dogs with the sheep. The dog will find his way back home. A cat will find his way back home. And I can tell you from experience also, I have seen donkeys. You take them to graze to the pastures there, and you leave them. When it's time to go back home, they will come back home. A horse will come back home. A goat, again, I'm telling you things I have seen with my eyes. Goats, when it's time to go back home, they will get back home. But a sheep will never go back home by itself. And that is the description we have here. It's the designation about you and me. This is not very flattering, by the way. So you are a sheep, and you are that one sheep, and without the Savior. My dear friends, in order to be saved, as I said, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and me. And in order to be saved, you must see yourself as a sinner. In order to be saved, I must see myself as not a good person. Do you know that hell is only for good people? Only good people go to hell. And only sinners go to heaven. That's the paradox of the Bible. You go to the religions of the world. Oh, you are a good person. You are a decent person. In order to go to heaven, I must not see myself as a decent person. And you find people, oh, I'm a good father. I'm a good mother. I don't trouble anyone. I don't disturb anybody. And I help my neighbors. I'm willing to help everyone. I greet people, and people greet me very well. But all these are civilities, morals and moralities. They will never save anyone. In order to be saved, I must see myself as a dead person, as a sheep, as a lost person. Look again, the Pharisees in verse 2 and 3. The Pharisees looked at the Lord Jesus Christ with disdain. You know, they looked down at him. Do you see how they spoke about him? This man. But they knew him very well. They know his name. They know his family. They know which city he came from. But they looked down on him. This man. And they accused him. It's interesting. They accused him of the very thing he came to do in this life. What was the accusation? This man eats with sinners. And that is why he came into this world. So he was just doing the mission for which he was sent, and he came into this world. So it was really a false accusation. And my dear friends, before I give you the second heading, our first heading, what man of you, each one of us, you can see here that the Lord Jesus Christ was accessible to all type of people. Everybody, everyone could come and have access to the Lord Jesus Christ, to all sinners, children, adults, the harlots, the lepers, the blinds, the deaf. Everyone could come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the despicable people, the untouchable people, people whom normally, like the lepers, you know, in the Bible, the lepers, they must stand at a distance from the people. And they even had bells when they were walking. And when they see somebody coming close to them, they will say to the person, and they will start to cry out, "Leper, leper, do not come near, do not approach." But the Lord Jesus Christ touched lepers and he healed them. Even there was an occasion where he healed 10 lepers just at a word. And only one came back to him to say, "Thank you, Lord," and put it in simple language. So Christ Jesus is approachable by all sinners, all people. You and me, we can approach him. We don't need a title. All comers are welcome. And he sits and eat with them. But look at our second heading in verse 4 there. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. It's all there. And it speaks about our lostness. We are lost people. We are ruined. We are perishing. Actually, the word lost also means to perish. It's the same word. It means to be ruined and to be injured, wounded, and weak, and scabby, and starving. Or the sheep, as you know, is very stubborn. It's obstinate. And this is us. Like a sheep, we are perishing with no defense. You see again, a sheep has no horns. It's defenseless. A sheep has no venom. A sheep has no defense to defend itself or to attack anyone. A sheep cannot show off teeth, no claws, so wounded. And it's because we are sheep, sin splintered us. You are totally splintered because of sin. And we have sinned against God, of course. We are under a death sentence. My dear friends, this is not about losing your job. This is not about losing your health. You can lose your job, you can lose your exam, you can lose your health, but to lose your soul, that is the greatest disaster in the world. Please, eat good food, dress well, work very hard, enjoy anything you want in this life. But if you neglect yourself, your soul, you are the most miserable person in the world. Miserable in this life, and miserable in the life to come. Because what do you have? You have only material things. And as I often say, you heard me, some of you saying this. If you only live for the material and for this world, my dear friends, what differentiates you with an animal? An animal lives also for food. An animal lives by instinct. I want food, I go for it. I want to destroy somebody, I go for it. Just instinct. But God has given us intelligence. He has given us a mind. He has given us a heart with feelings. He has given us a will. But even more, he has given us a soul. Do you know animals do not have a soul? But you have been created in the image of God. It puts you million miles and million times superior than animals. Oh, my dear friend, what words can I say this morning to ask you, look to your soul. What are you doing with your soul? And some people, again, I have met many people. They go to church week after week, but they never, never repented from their sins. They have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, they perform a ritual. They perform ceremonies. And some have even repeated words the preacher may have asked them to repeat. And the preacher said to them, you are saved, while they are not saved. So we are lost, totally lost. A defenseless sheep we are. And we are waiting to be rescued. If a sheep is not rescued, it will only be taken to the slaughters, animals. It will be a prey to the animals. That's it. But look at number 3, verse 4 again. The seeking shepherd. Christ is that man. He was led as a sheep to the slaughters. We read in Isaiah 53. He was stricken for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He took the load of our sins. He laid the magnificence. If I can just take a few minutes here to explain to you the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid aside, he's God, but he put on, in coming into this world, he put on a human body and he laid aside many, many of his prerogatives, many, many of them. And I can remind you one, when they came to arrest him, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter, who is always bold and brash, he took a sword and cut the ear of one of the soldiers. But Jesus Christ said to him, put back your sword, because I could have called a legion of angels. You know how many angels you have in a legion? A Roman legion is made of 6,000 soldiers. So the Lord Jesus Christ could have called 6,000 angels. And in my small mind, when I read that passage, I often say, even one angel could have destroyed it. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in great humility, he put aside that prerogative of destroying the whole world. And he let himself to be arrested and to be taken, to be judged by a human tribunal, and then to be taken to the cross of Calvary. And remember the cross, to die on a cross, it was a great ignominy. It was the most monstrous way of death. Excruciating there, dying, suffocating. And he suffered that for sinners like us. Oh, he laid aside his prerogative to come to descend so low and low and low. He did not give up on you. Do you know that? The Lord Jesus Christ did not give up on you. And that is why he came. He went that far for just one, just one. There is a church father who said, even if there was one sinner in this world who needs to be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ will still come. Maybe you are that one sinner this morning. But he came. He came himself instead of sending angels, instead of sending his servant. You know, Jesus Christ is a king. He's the king of kings. Normally, kings of this world, they don't come to us. They send their servants. They have a whole cottage, a whole court of servants around them. And they will just send them to us. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, came himself into this world to die and to give his life to save one sheep. One sheep. And the sheep couldn't cry out, Lord, help me. The sheep couldn't do that. That's why he came. He came where the sheep was. He braved all obstacles and dangers. And the coming took him to the cross of Calvary. But look at number four. What man of you, number one? Number two, we are lost. Number three, the Lord Jesus Christ is the seeking shepherd. But number four, look at the result. I take you to verse 7. Verse 7. Look at it there in verse 7. Look at the celebration when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm always amazed. I hope I can draw your attention on this. I'm always amazed when I read this parable. The Lord Jesus Christ is not mincing. No reprimand, no rebuke. Do you see any rebuke in the passage? No rebuke. He didn't say, he didn't pull, twist the ear of the sheep. Why did you do this? Where have you been? Why are you lost? No, no, no. Instead, there was a celebration. May I show you from the Bible? We don't have time to turn to the verses. But when you come today, this morning, to the Lord Jesus Christ, there are seven parties that are celebrating. Seven. Seven parties party. And it's all here in Luke chapter 15. The first one, when you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the first celebration is by the Father himself, God the Father. And of course, the second celebration, the second joy is by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I can show you the verses if you want later. The third celebration is by the Holy Spirit. So the Father is happy. The Son of God, the Shepherd, is happy. The Holy Spirit is happy. But more than that, look at it there in verse 6. You can see that your friends and neighbors are happy. Your loved ones. If you come and your parents are a Christian as a young person, or if you are a mother or a father, an auntie, an uncle, or a cousin, a nephew, a niece, you come to the Savior, the family is happy. Is happy, there is rejoicing. But look at it in verse 10. There are angels in heaven and they celebrate. Oh, one sinner have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Acts chapter 15, we read that the church is also happy. The church celebrates. And of course, I shouldn't forget the seventh one. The sinner himself is happy. What joy, what celebration when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But may I have your attention? Almost done. Do you know when you graduated from university, there was no celebration in heaven? Maybe some have celebrated their birthday this week. Or there was no celebration in heaven. When you become a millionaire, good for you. There is no celebration in heaven. Heaven is not moved at all, insensitive. But once you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is moved. Heaven celebrates. Heaven is happy. Heaven rejoices. There is a full, exciting ecstasy in heaven because one sinner has found the Lord Jesus Christ. He is found and rescued and secured. Maybe nobody has ever been excited about you. Nobody, no, you feel even nobody loves you. But when you come to the saving knowledge of Christ, You come to him as a sheep, lost sheep. There is celebration in heaven. Oh, Christ will carry you, we read in verse 7. He will carry you on his mighty shoulders, taking you safely home, never to be lost again. And that joy, you don't have to wait to be in heaven. That joy is yours even right now. Heaven, a place. Heaven is a holy place. And it is a happy place. You know what is amazing about heaven? I have no time really remaining to describe even the beauty of heaven, a perfect place, no pain, no sin, no tears, no aches there, but even more, no death. It is a place of total bliss and happiness, and you will be in the best company. No more darkness, no more separation, no more condemnation. No one is too odd. No one is too peculiar. No one is too small. No one is too big sinner not to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. All are invited. But in closing, look at verse 7 again. And you can see in verse 7, all those first words, I say unto you, do you see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? He doesn't speak on behalf of someone. He says, I say unto you. Very powerful words there. But in closing, what must I do to be saved? Look at what God is expecting from you in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented. So what is God asking you to do today? To repent from your sins. God is not asking you to debate. You know, there are people that they love to debate. But God is not asking you to debate. God is asking you to repent. And he will make you happy. And to repent means that I must see myself as a lost sinner and turn to the Savior for forgiveness. As I said at the beginning of this message, a ship will never find its way home. But you know, a ship can do something. What can a ship do? To bleat, to cry out. I wanted even to imitate to you a ship this morning, just by bleating, but it's not its place. But may I ask you, oh, cry out, you know, like a sheep there. I'm sure you know how the sheep cries out. Like the sheep there in the bush, being caught between the thorns, in a cave probably. And the sheep now is crying out. So your cry as a human being, you're not an animal. Cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a wretched sinner. Show me the way. I want to come to thee this morning in order to be saved. Show me my need. Help me to seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what repentance does in your life? Repentance stops the grumbling and the murmuring in your life. And it brings joy in your life. And repentance and faith is the only door to eternal life. Christ is the good shepherd, full of love and ready to save. If you come to him, he is the shepherd who will not rest until every one of his sheep come in. Oh, my dear friend, give no rest to yourself this morning until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you one of the one, the only one, or you are instead one of the 99 who says, I don't need repentance. I don't need to cry out for help. But if you are the only one who needs to be saved, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He will save you. And he will give you new life. He will give you abundant life. He will give you eternal life.